I'll begin by giving us an orientation, for some of us a reorientation, about why we call this the fulcrum of faith. If you remember from your 8th grade science class, the fulcrum is the point on which a lever turns. You may not be able to lift a manhole with your hands, at least not very easily, but with a crowbar, you can get it right off. So that lever is likened to God's grace. The fulcrum, that point on which it turns, is your yes. The famous, most famous yes, the most significant yes, is that of the Blessed Virgin Mary, who said yes to the angel Gabriel. She was full of grace. Following from that and preceding that were many other yeses of God's grace. Today, the example that we have is that of Joseph, who was encountered by the angel, one who sought him out, and told him to not fear to take Mary as his wife, whatever the consequences of that might be. However, that would go against the grain of the culture. How even though he didn't know what that would look like, how he would be able to carry it out, he was called to say yes in faith. And so the spotlight of all human history shined on Joseph in that moment. So you might say there was a lot of weight on his shoulders at that moment. On one level, on a human level, yes. But remember that if we understand this analogy, which corresponds, I think, fairly well with Scripture, is that the lever represents God's grace. He was called to say yes, not to carrying something forward in his own strength, but yes to God's grace, to believing that God is who he says he is, and that he will carry his purposes of redemption forward in history. And he calls us to be participators in that redemption. There are many other points of grace that preceded that, leading up to this primary spotlight. We can think of David, King David, who was called to build a kingdom that would be fulfilled in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the son of Joseph. But David was called to have a son, and he participated in redemption, even as the son Solomon was the result of what it was initially an illicit union. And so in this we see that nothing is beyond the reach of God's redemption. God calls us to be participation, to our participation in this redemption, taking what was wrong and making it right. And that's what makes this whole move of God's grace real to us. Because you and I, in many ways, do not look like Joseph the way we idealize him, in the way he truly is, as the one called to raise the Son of God. But yet, in our own unique way, in your own unique way, the spotlight of history likewise shines on you. How will you bring forward the history of redemption in your context, in your life? In many ways, it will feel like the weight is on your shoulders. But here's a reminder that we're called simply to call upon God's grace. The premise of our gathering today is that men, all men, image fatherhood. That is true for those who are just entering into manhood, a couple of you are here, as well as those who no longer have children in the home. It's certainly true in an obvious way for those of us who have children, but it's true for those of you who do not have children as well. Your manhood points to the fatherhood of God, and we're all called to receive that strong grace of God, to bring forward this redemption as God uniquely calls each of us in our state in life. Now, David had a son, Solomon, and he was called to charge this son to build a house for my name. That house that David longed to build himself, but it was not for him to do because he had shed blood. So he was not qualified to do that. And likewise, we recognize that you and I have shed blood as well. We feel tainted, like we're not able to bring forward this redemption in the way that St. Joseph was. Let me just celebrate what he did, thank you very much, and just fall with my head down. But no, lift your head up. There is still an important work for you to do. And our hope is not only in our work, but in those who will follow. And so the word to David was, through the prophet, is, I will be his father, and he shall be my son. So as fathers, we are pointing the world to the fatherhood of God, so that ultimately we see our heavenly father, and our children see our heavenly father as their primary father. As I said to my daughter recently, in a tender moment, that God loves you more than me. He is your perfect father. When I have time to elaborate, I'll say on occasion, any goodness you see from me, that's from the fatherhood of God. But anything, any way that lacks goodness, that's not from God. Look to him as your perfect father. I will be his father. He shall be my son. And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. So your work will be confirmed as I carry forward through my grace. Just simply pass it on. And he says, your throne shall be established forever. Now, most of us know how the story unfolds, that Solomon was far from a perfect son. Although he did receive grace, he asked for wisdom. He asked for God's enabling to work through him. And so it is that this ultimate fulfillment was in our Lord Jesus Christ. So our hope, on one level, yes, is in our children. But secular people can say that. Our hope is in our children. Well, but we know the fulfillment of that. That the hope is when we point our children to the child, to our Lord Jesus Christ, so that they are able to walk in his strength and not their own. And so even one as Solomon, who succumbed to the tide of the culture, to the temptations of the world, his ultimate return was to that purpose of redemption. And we see once again, nothing is beyond the reach of God's redemption. So the spotlight of history shines again on one Saint Joseph. And he heard the words, do not fear to take Mary your wife. The purposes of redemption go forward, and I will work through you. And so as David looked forward to that moment, so you and I look backward to this moment in order to carry it on. As we're elevated to this task, we know how redemption goes forward, and we can point our children to him. Those of you who were here last night and heard Dr. Barona speak, his words dovetailed well with our gathering today, in that he longed for this grace that he received, this love, this fatherhood of God, this missional love that others had taken to him. would go forward to our families. Privately afterwards, he spoke about how he was part of a very intentional community, a gathering of very determined Catholics who were willing to step out of the world. And he surveyed, though, the children of this community, and he said, you know, about 50% of our children are following the Lord, which is actually far better than the greater culture. So what does that bring us to? We had a brief conversation after his talk last night, and we thought about how, well, we kind of wring our hands sometimes, you know, well, want our children just carry on our faith. But we see that from the baby boomers to Generation X, we're less. You know, the revival movements we see among my generation were less broad than we saw in the 70s among the boomers, it seems like. But certainly what happened in the 80s and 90s was a step down from the vitality we saw in the 50s. And then the millennials and the rise of the nuns, they're not even intellectually engaged enough to call themselves agnostic. Oh, I'm just nun. I just check off nun. No affiliation. That's the drumbeat of the current generation and those who are following. But my vision, and may be our vision today, is this. Is that not that our children just carry on our faith? No, our faith of our generation, even those of us, many of us who go to church regularly, is not what we want them to carry on. We want them to do something more. My vision is that we will, that God will give birth through us those who leapfrog the previous generation, who look at our generation and say, lukewarm. Let's go back to the roots. Let's bring forward the fullness of the faith. So as fathers, let us be intentional about imaging the fullness of the faith to whatever extent that we can. But the fulcrum for us is to not fear. That to understand that that which is conceived in Mary is of the Holy Spirit, and that which is conceived in the church likewise. And there is nothing beyond the reach of God's redemption. As we carry forward the fulcrum, we are the point at which that lever turns. That lever is God's grace. And that is strength beyond what we can ask or imagine. Let's receive that strength anew today.